Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The so-called compromise by Senator Joe Manchin regarding the election fraud bill is even worse than what was going on before. We're going to be talking about this and unpacking it on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead.
You know, Matt, I think the very word compromise sends up a red flag.
And really, at the end of the day, it's not a compromise. Sometimes you think of a compromise that you want 100%, but you're not going to actually get 100%, so maybe you're willing to settle for 80%, so you compromise downward in order to meet the minds together. And that's what sometimes you think of as a compromise. You didn't get everything you want, but you got some of what you want, maybe
you
a lot of what you want.
Or you compromise the truth.
Or you can look at it, you compromise the truth to get some of what you want rather than all of what you want. The problem here is that the compromise, if you're looking at H.R. 1 giving 100% to the Democratic leadership of what it wants, the so-called Manchin compromise gives probably about 125%.
And H.R. 1 was already bad with election fraud.
Yeah, the H.R. 1...
How can you get worse?
As it moved into the Senate, then it was... The bill number was S1, and then later they changed it at the last minute to S2093 with some additional amendments to it. Those were very bad bills, and those did not get the 60-vote margin to overcome the filibuster. They got 50 votes from all the Democrats voting in favor, including Joe Manchin at the last minute, and all the Republicans voting against. And that was a very, very bad bill. We've messaged on that before. We have a page at libertycouncillc.org/HR1 that has a lot of the information. And we're still using the name HR1 for ease of use. That was a very bad bill. It would legalize election fraud. But what the so-called Manchin Compromise is, comes from the failed what's now called the John Lewis Act. It was renamed that last year. And why is this so much worse? It's worse because it provides what's called pre-clearance. Pre-clearance goes back to the 1960s and so forth. There were some states that had laws or policies that continued to prevent access to vote by people of color. Now, some people think that, well, those were Republican-controlled states. Actually, they were Democratic-controlled states. If you go back early on, you realize that the Republican Party started because it was in favor of abolition, and it was the Democratic Party that was favorable to slavery, and that ultimately led to the Civil War. And then after the Civil War, the so-called Jim Crow laws, they came from the Democratic Party, not the Republican Party. They were wanting to reimpose restrictions on people of color so that they would not have equal rights despite the Civil War and even despite the adoption of the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments. At any rate, what happened is there are some states where the Department of Justice got involved to make sure that some of these laws were not imposing barriers, particularly to people of color. But they can't do that forever, because once the landscape changes, they don't have that continual ability to micromanage the individual states. What the John Lewis Voting Rights Act does, which is what the Manchin Compromise is all about, is impose preclearance. Preclearance means that the Department of Justice would have to pre-clear, pre-approve every law and policy of every state and county with regards to elections, down to the very micromanagement where if you had a polling booth in a civic room, civic community center, and it was in, say, room A, but room A, for example, on election day, was too small to accommodate the crowds, or maybe you had a big rainstorm that week and it flooded the area or something happened in that particular area. So you want to move it across the hall in the same building to room B, which is either bigger or more usable. You can't just move your polling from room A to room B under preclearance. You have to get special pre-approval from the United States Department of Justice, in this case, the Biden Department of Justice. That's how micromanaged it is.
But I thought the elections were you know, controlled by the states.
Well, this would put everything in the federal government's power, and it would put everything in very liberal Department of Justice career staffers, many of whom are very pro-ACLU, pro-Southern Poverty Law Center, pro-La Raza, very radical individuals that would be controlling the micromanagement of all the various minutiae of election laws.
So bottom line, we don't, you know, just sigh relief because H.R. 1 didn't pass in the Senate. What's coming around the corner is even 10 times worse.
It's worse because you get everything that you want in H.R. 1, no voter ID, and everything else, and more. So for example, take Pennsylvania as an example, and you want to put more polling places and drop boxes for mail-in ballots in the primarily Democratic voting precincts and less opportunity to vote in the primarily Republican voting precincts. That could all be done through the Department of Justice saying you need to put more in the blue areas and less in the red areas to increase the Democratic vote and decrease the Republican votes.
Similar to what we saw in the election 2020.
Yeah, with what Mark Zuckerberg did through his funding
right.
resources. So Senator or Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi told reporters that the Democrats must pass the election fraud bill in order to pass their agenda items, including gun control. And this is what her quote is, quote, "We are not going away until we pass legislation to stop gun violence," Pelosi told reporters. "And we will have a better chance to do that if we pass H.R. 1. Now, H.R. 1 has nothing to do to address gun violence. So what does Pelosi mean by this statement? She goes on to say, clearly the Republicans in Congress are handmaidens of the gun industry, Speaker continued. Then they have prevented us from passing a gun control law. And although it's bipartisan, it's not enough for us to pass it in the Senate. So again, the For the People Act is really important for many reasons.
I.e., so that we can be in control.
That's right. So in other words, she says, well, in the Senate, she's saying that in the Senate, we can't get this passed. Why? Because we don't have enough Democratic senators in the Senate. We don't have 60 or more to overcome a filibuster. So we can't get these things passed. In other words, she can't get her socialist Marxist agenda passed through the Senate unless they have 60 or more Democratic senators. How are they going to get 60 or more Democratic senators in the Senate? Obviously, she wants more in the House, too, by passing the election fraud bill. Well, what does that do? Well, it gives more Democrats to both the House and the Senate because of all the election fraud that would be developed. And that's exactly what the Department of Justice would be doing under this preclearance. In fact, Holly, the Department of Justice recently filed a lawsuit against Georgia's voter reform law that requires voter ID.
They're getting desperate. That's what it is.
So you already see that they oppose voter ID. And they're right. filing a lawsuit. Now, if you have the John Lewis Voting Rights Act or whatever name they put on it from time to time, the Department of Justice wouldn't have to file suit against Georgia. They would just not pre-approve the law before it was ever passed. And Georgia would then have to spend years of litigation going all the way to the Supreme Court to push back to try to get voter ID, as an example, into their laws.
These Marxist socialists are desperate to destroy our country.
And yeah, and here's to follow up on that, Representative Jamal Bowman, the Democrat from New York, told CNN, quote, "If we deliver S1, which is the version in the Senate, we maintain power in 2022. Listen, if we don't, we risk losing power and risk this moment to really push a progressive agenda." Mm. So
he just said the quiet part out loud.
Yeah, we can only win in 2022 if we pass the election fraud bill. If we don't win in 2022, it's going to be because we didn't pass the election fraud bill. If we don't pass this, we're going to lose in 2022. If we do pass it, we will win 2022. Now, that is chilling because this puts one party in ultimate absolute control in perpetuity. So this is why it needs to stop. We have a website, lc.org/HR1. We're still using the former term, HR1, because it's applying to all of these. And we need to continue to fax the senators, sign petitions and send to the key senators, and call them and tell them, no, stop pushing this election fraud bill. Stop the election fraud bills. This is critical because everything is hanging on the line. Go to lc.org/HR1.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. Again, that phone number, 407-875-1776.